The Youth for Peace delegation was created out of the United for Peace campaign. The group was made up of 16 youth from across Canada and three leaders. We spent 9 days in Israel and the Palestinian territories from May 17th to 27th. We embarked on a delegation of solidarity, witness, and exposure to the situation on the ground, to engage in conversation, and to experience signs of hope. It's tremendously important in any context where there is conflict to listen to the voices of the people most affected. Christ's gospel tells us that by hearing the voices of the dispossessed and the imprisoned, we will understand God's will for the world. We seldom hear these voices from Palestine. Now, I will never be able to fully understand the conflict, and I am certainly no expert, but I can do my best to show you what we saw and to express to you the cries of the people. The trip was designed to engage with our United Church partners who are working for peace and aiming to promote dialogue and understanding for everyone involved in the conflict. We met with the Jerusalem Interchurch Council of the Middle Eastern Council of Churches, the YMCA-YWCA Joint Advocacy Initiative, Sabeel, an Ecumenical Liberation Theology Center, and the Ecumenical Accompaniment Program, among many others. We heard time and again the impact of military occupation on the everyday lives of Palestinians and the consistent message of what is needed for peace. Looking over Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, we saw the Dome of the Rock and the Western Wall at the heart of the city. We saw the close and confused boundaries of East and West Jerusalem, including one of the illegal settlements in East Jerusalem under construction. It was so upsetting to look over this holy city and realize the unholiness of this place. This is a place meant for the coexistence of many peoples and religions, and where true peace is abundant for all. We drove through Jerusalem and saw the wall dividing neighbors from one another and some of the graffiti that stands out. This form of resistance for Palestinians is common. They explain to us that they no longer have a voice. They are silenced by the powers that surround them. And so for them, to resist is to exist at all. As we traveled from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, we became aware of how close and connected these two cities are. We drove through Bethlehem and saw the wall winding through the land, cutting people off from their property and blocking their access to food, water, education, hospitals, and the freedom of movement. One of the most powerful experiences on the trip was going through the Bethlehem checkpoint, like an everyday Palestinian worker would. Bethlehem is in the West Bank and located only about 10 minutes from Jerusalem. With the unemployment rate in Bethlehem at 28%, many people in Bethlehem travel to Jerusalem for work. But with the construction of the wall and this checkpoint, many people are cut off from work and must now obtain permits to leave the city. The Bethlehem checkpoint is supposed to be open 24 hours a day, but opens in the morning, usually around 6 a.m. So Palestinians begin lining up around 3 a.m. in order to make it to work. We experienced what it was like to move through this maze. We understood what it must be like for people to line up for hours, to be herded through fences and security gates, to justify their own existence to soldiers, and the humiliation that people must feel. People have to go through this every day just to get to work and to see their families or to go to school. This experience showed me that the power imbalance is so extraordinary that we can no longer view each side the same. It was particularly important for us to hear the stories of youth who are affected by the conflict. We learned that 65% of Palestinians are under the age of 28, so young people are extremely impacted by this conflict. The youth in Palestine today were born into a 60-year history of conflict, All they have ever known is a life of war. And so this has very much shaped their identities and is part of their everyday lives. But we saw so much hope in the youth. Organizations like Peace Village are setting examples of living and working together in peace. Their own primary school, from the very first day, students are learning Hebrew and Arabic, so there is a balance and equality even at the level of language. The youth at Sabil are standing up for what is right within the violent world around them. They have so much faith and resilience to keep working for better relations and building dialogue and working for a better future without violence. They live out every day the cost of discipleship, and they know that peace cannot come when people's rights and welfare are denied. This steadfastness of the people is the powerful message of hope that we must hear. By telling their stories and sharing their experiences, we are letting the international community know the truth so that we can work for justice and so that all people can live in freedom and dignity.
I have a few stories of experiences that really impacted me. And I think to be in Bethlehem, to be in that place where Jesus was born, where Jesus walked, and the amount of community and power that was there. We visited an organization while in Bethlehem called the Smooth Story House, and walking into it, if I was a child, would be pretty magical. It's an organization called the Arab Educational Institute, or Open Windows. And the Samud Story House is a brand new building that they just created to share stories of traditional Palestinian culture and to promote education of the conflict. We were shown a traditional wedding scene. Women dressed in Palestinian dress and showed us a traditional dance from before a wedding. And all of it was conducted in Arabic, and to be an audience looking in on a culture and on a way of life that people were still trying to keep alive was pretty magical. There were so many resources there for us. It was as if there was all these stories that they were just aching to share. There was tables and tables of books and pamphlets and all sorts of resources for us to learn about. Emily spoke about our time going through the checkpoint at Bethlehem. And being in a city where this was a regular occurrence for people to have to go through, and as a regular work day. There were a bunch of cars outside the checkpoint. There was a man selling cheap coffee and having sort of everyday conversation with me. So even in all of this barbed wire, people were trying to find a way to make this a regular day. It reminded me of airport security, except dirtier and more humiliating. Our accompanier, the woman who walked with us as we went through the checkpoint, told us of five people having to go across in a space where we normally walked single file. If you had to go to the washroom, well, in the 4 or 5 hours that you might have had to wait, there was no way to get out. There was a woman who was standing in front of me while we were waiting, and there were several steps to go through this checkpoint. There was a woman who was standing in front of me, and she struck me because she was wearing purple, which is my favorite color. And she had a purple head covering, a purple dress, and purple eyeshadow. And she was so radiant. She was probably going to work. I didn't have a chance to speak with her. But we had a moment where I locked eyes with her, and I said something like, "I'm sorry." I don't know if she understood me, but there was that moment, and there was so much pain there, and we sort of shared an equal moment. And even afterwards, when I think of that, maybe it was just her eyes, but those were pretty impacting for me. I couldn't help thinking of the vulnerability of these interactions, where the Palestinian people going through a daily routine and the Israeli Defense Forces who manned these checkpoint stations. The vulnerability of these interactions. They're forced to come into close contact with one another, and the power that these interactions could have
And if someone changed their attitude a little bit, was more friendly, sympathetic, how much power even such a small change could have.
On our last night while in Palestine, we had the opportunity to have dinner with a Palestinian family through an organization called the Palestinian Alternative Tourism Group.
And me and a few others got to have dinner with Nejla and Frank, a couple who lived in Bet Sahur, which was a community very close to Bethlehem. And their house was busy. It was small and it was filled with all sorts of decorations and very bright. The whole family, their grandchildren and their children all came in to visit. And Nejla shared a story of trying to get her son to Tel Aviv in order to get him a passport to go to Scotland for school. And this whole story and the adventure of trying to get into Israel while not actually having a passport and getting back alive. She was an animated storyteller, and I was struck by the amount of independence she had as a woman living in the Palestinian territories, and the amount of spirit and passion, and how much she really wanted her son to have an opportunity to go there. There was an infectious sense of community even among all of us. We even had a German student who was visiting doing her thesis and was working in Palestine. So all of these people, we were put together at this table, and there was such a sense of community and openness that they shared with us. So those were a few experiences that really stuck out for me. And I tell them as candid as I can in order to hopefully share some of that feeling.
So our trip to and there was a trip to Emmett and Israel has shaped me and has pushed me to act and speak out. Many times we were encouraged to share stories when we returned home to speak for peace and justice in the Middle East. I think these actions become the salt, the drink in the struggle for peace. I feel it is always responsibility to share our experiences as Emily and Emma have done and to advocate for justice. As a commissioner at General Counsel this past August, I ensured people heard my voice in support of boycott, divestment, and change campaign. I was quite nervous speaking at General Council as I knew that I hold very strong opinions and it can be a tense issue. However, I know that speaking against injustice is something that Jesus calls us all to do. I've become more conscious in what I choose to support. As an example, I'm planning to attend a film at this year's Toronto Palestinian Film Fest to engage in conversation with others and support that initiative. I have been concentrating on educating this as well. This month I wrote an article for the river as a way to hopefully spark some conversation across Canada and in congregations. Locally, I've been involved in writing for church newsletters and speaking to congregations such as Fernandez St. Paul's and also to my home presbytery. I believe much education around Palestine's world need to happen. And I have committed myself to be a part of this work. Jesus called us to be full of salt or full of courage. I hope to live up to this call.
One of the messages that was underscored strongly in our meetings with United Church partners was the need for action and change. So as a part of reporting back, it seemed appropriate to offer a forum to live into this call, to consider not only how we as participants in the trip, but all of us as the church might bear faithful witness to the plight of Palestinian partners. I would invite you to turn to a neighbor or two to share what have you gleaned from today's discussion and your own study of the issue. What are you called personally in your family, your work, your community of faith to do in response? It could be more education on a topic, prayer, listening, reading, consumer choices, educating others, writing letters. After a few minutes, we will invite people to share, a few people to share their commitments and considerations with the congregation at large. Also, you're more than welcome to go back and use our walls and draw a sign of your hope or prayer for this situation. So please turn to a neighbor and consider, in recognition of the situation in the Middle East, what response does my faith require?
Great. I hate to interrupt such lively conversation, but if we want an opportunity for a few people to share, does someone have something?
When we were doing the campaign against apartheid in South Africa, Desmond Tutu used the analogy of the relation between the black people and the Afrikaner ruling nation. He used the analogy of the elephant and the mouse. And he said, in effect, what we have here in these two parties is an elephant standing on the tail of the mouse. And this is a difficult position from which to have dialogue or discussion or negotiation. And he suggested, let's try and shift the Afrikaner elephant off the tail of the mouse so that at least they can see each other and have some discussion. And I think that what we're looking at here is how to shift the Israeli elephant off the tail of the Palestinians, who have very little power, and get some balance of power so that some serious discussion and negotiation could take place. And I think that the resolution on boycotts, disinvestment, and sanctions is one way of shifting that elephant.
Jim, you bring to mind another little story of another mouse who actually had to help a lion outside of a net. It would be interesting to see how Israel would feel being the lion under the net when it had to seek help from the Palestinians.
We had some great suggestions here. One was the question which I couldn't answer is, what exactly is our government doing? And maybe we need to find out some more about that, and also, and then be informed to be able to write some letters to our politicians. And something else that I've decided is to buy my olive oil from Zaytoun, because I've heard about how difficult it is for them to make a living and to export their products.
Thank you.
My partner admitted very courageously that she did not know very much about the situation. And I had to tell her that Zatoun is about bringing Palestine to North Americans. Zatoun is Palestine in a bottle. And the idea is that people in North America can experience something of Palestine. Because what we do not have is an experience of the reality of these people. And the vast majority of us do not have the opportunity of these wonderful young people who were able to visit and to see for themselves. So for us, we're limited to the experience of the olive oil. But the idea is that that experience will spark an interest. It will motivate us to learn more about Israel and Palestine. And out of that learning, we will share it with friends and family. It is only through the sharing of what we know that we will come together as a community and demand more balance, demand more action from our government. So the keys to peace in Israel-Palestine resides with us in North America particularly, because there is such an imbalance of power between Palestinians and Israelis that they on their own cannot achieve peace. It's only through our efforts. Thank you.
As part of the educational process here, I'd just like to remind people that the Toronto Palestine Film Festival is currently on at various venues around downtown Toronto, and I have brought programs for the festival. They're on the literature table, and please pick them up on your way out. Thanks.
Thanks, and thanks, Susan, for pointing to, you know, really where our work will continue is how we go forth and how we go out of this service. So thank you all so much.